Now, before Ken comes to speak to us, I want to let you in on a few projects that we have been working on over the past weeks and months. It's very exciting that it's finally here. It means my job's somewhat done. Not that I'm leaving or anything, but I can move on to other things. But the first thing we are launching today is our brand new website. There it is. Fancy, fancy. We've got a new website, and I want you to notice right away that the front end of our website is aimed at visitors. A lot of people say now that the church's website is the new front door. Most people will come and look at our church website before they ever walk through those doors. And so we want people to know exactly what to expect when they come here, which is why you can see things like what to expect, who we are, what's going on with children and youth. So people who are looking for a church, looking to find out more about what goes on here can find it really, really simply. And this is really helpful for you as well. So if you're talking to your friends or your neighbors about our church, or you just meet someone randomly, like at the store or something, and you get talking about what your church is like, you can tell them to go check out your church website, fbclovis.com, F for first, B for Baptist, clovis.com, and they can check it out. Now, one of the major changes, along with the redesign for visitors, is that it's also mobile-friendly. That means whether you look at it on your computer screen, on a projector, on a tablet, on a smartphone, it's going to be readable, it's going to be accessible, which is a huge, huge thing for websites, because a lot of people will look at a website here first before they ever open it up on their computer. So that was one of the main aims. So if you look at our church's website, if you want to point your friends there, they can find it on their phone, and it's going to be super readable for them. But it's not only for new people. There's lots of info on there for you. So if you can click on the next tab, please, Kevin. We've got a brand new events section with highlighted events. But the exciting thing for all you calendaring type people, if you go to the next one, there is a church calendar. Wow. That is amazing that we managed to put that together. That is out. I mean, you might think you'll just put events on the calendar. That's huge for us, okay? For you to be able to look out months ahead and see what's going on in the church, that is special right there. And so it's a great way for you to know what's going on. You can click on the links on the calendar to sign up for various events if you need to sign up for them. It's a super accessible, super easy way. Again, also on your phone, you can download the calendar into your iPhone calendar, into your Google calendar. You can get alerts, those types of things. It's very user-friendly. There's also on the website, there's ministry info and contact details. We also still have our sermon archive up there, so you can see the sermons from the past weeks and months coming on there. So if you miss a Sunday, you can just go onto the website and listen to what you missed. And also coming soon, one thing we want to start gathering and creating is various articles, blog posts, those types of things to help you grow in your faith and live more on mission. And we want to do this because people are online. Most of us spend a lot of times on our phones clicking around things. I'm seeing if you're not, some people are like, I never take out my phone. This thing just sits. I've got a dumb phone. It just sits and makes phone calls. What kind of interest is that? But a lot of us who have smartphones spend a lot of time on them because we're constantly looking for news. We're constantly looking for information. We truly live in the information age. So you could look on your phone for the latest BuzzFeed article about 31 celebrities who have gained weight in the last year. Trust me, number 17 will really surprise you, as it always does. Or you could just get to know Jesus more and live more on mission for him. So that's what we want to create and get that space on there for you to use. So that's the website. I'll let you explore it on your own at home or during when Ken's talking, just flick around on there as well. We also have, not during the sermon, no, we won't do that, Ken. Then we also have a brand new church app. So you can go into your app store on your iPhone or the Google Play Store on an Android phone and download the church's app. Now the website is for visitors. The app is designed for our regulars so you can find out what is going on. So you don't need to open up your phone, type in a web address. You can just click on the icon on your home screen and find out all the information. We've got the events on there again so you can register for events right from your phone. We have our sermon archive on there, so if you miss a sermon, just plug some headphones into your phone, and whether you're at the gym, or driving to work, or mowing the lawn, or doing the dishes, or whatever you do, you can catch up on what you missed on those Sundays. You can see there's a Bible link down there. There's also a notes section, so you can take notes during a sermon, and you can store all your notes in one place from the church. You can do it on a tablet or on a phone. And when you first open up the app to download, you'll be asked to decide what notifications you like to get received. So we don't want to bug you with a whole load of notifications on your phone so you can say, I want children's ministry, I want youth ministry, or I don't want those, I just want men's ministry. You can decide what kind of notifications you want based on what news you want to receive from your phone. If you don't know what a notification is, don't worry about it. But they're there to help us communicate with you. Coming up in phase two of the app, when that's launched in a few weeks, we'll have ministry-specific calendars. So if you want to find out what's just happened in children's ministry, you can figure that out. We'll have access to the blog and all those articles on there, and we will have much, much more. And I'm also trying to figure out a way we can get your connection card on your phone. So you come to church, don't have to fill out a connection card, you can kind of click a check-in button, and all your information is submitted. So that'll be something I'm working on as well. So that's the website and the app. Now the third new thing, you're like, what could be cooler than a website and an app, eh? Well, let me tell you. What I'd love you to do, if you've got a smartphone on you, pull it out and just wave it at me. Show me a light. Look at them all. It's like a room of glowing phones. That's awesome. See how popular these things are. Now I'd love you to open up your messaging app. Trust me, it's okay. Open up your messaging app and let's text FB Clovis to 77977. Text FB Clovis to 77977. And that's going to send you a link to our mobile giving page. And this is what our third project we've been working on is called Mobile Giving. Now, people, make sure it doesn't autocorrect. FB Clovis probably isn't in your phone's dictionary, so I encourage you to make sure it doesn't autocorrect. Case doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it's uppercase, lowercase, in between case. But text FB Clovis to 77977. It's going to send you a link, and you can click on the link. And I'd love you to try it out by just giving the church $1. Just use your debit card information and give the church $1. And the reason we're including this in our options for giving is because a lot of people are carrying cash and checks less and less and less. If you go into a lot of stores now, you can give with your smartwatch by just scanning it. You can give with your phone. You don't need to carry a wallet anymore in a lot of places. And so that's the way we're going. And so we want to be able to give with our phones as well. So when you click on the link, you'll be asked how much you want to give. Just click $1 just to make sure it works. Fill in your information. Then on the next screen, you'll be asked to give in your debit card information. And when we talk about mobile giving, the big concern for a lot of people is security. And the company we're using, their software, is more secure than most banks. Like, some banks have higher security, but most banks have a lower security level than what this company has. And so it's highly, highly secure for your information to transmit. It's 128-bit encryption and all that jazz. And so it's super, super, super secure. Now, please, the reason I want to give it a go now is so that if there's any problems, if something doesn't work and you're trying to figure it out, then I'd love to help you out after the service. I'll be at the Connection Center so you can ask me any questions about it. But it is super secure. Once you've filled in your information, it's going to send you a confirmation code to make sure you're not a robot trying to do something. It just wants to make sure your phone's legitimate and this, that, and the other. And so it'll do that. And they'll ask you to create a password so that in the future you can give more quickly. And once you've set it up, and once you've got the PushPay app, you can give within 10 seconds. You're like, wow, why do I need to give that quick? That's quicker than you can write a check and put it in the offering plate. That's quicker than you can pull out cash from wallet. You can give in 10 seconds. And one of the biggest, because people are carrying cash and checks less, when we have an offering at church, people are like, oh, I just forgot to bring my cash. I didn't bring my checkbook. But now we can give on our phones as well. And again, it's highly secure. Now, once you've given a dollar and it's all worked, you'll be sent a link to download the PushPay app, which will allow you to give in that 10-second time frame. So you don't have to remember that link. You don't have to remember the FB Clovis 77977. You can just click on the app, and it's fully integrated with our church app as well. So in the church app, you can click on the Give button, and it'll help you give through there. Now also, the different, you can give different ways as well through the app. So if you have that slide up, you can give via debit card, credit card, American Express. We accept all major credit cards, but we don't encourage you to give with a credit card because we don't want you to go into debt to give to the church. That doesn't work. But if you're one of these people who's like, use my credit card for everything and I pay it off right away, totally cool, however you want to do it. But we get charged a small fee. We get charged small fees for checks as well, so we get charged small fees for each transaction. So you can see debit credit cards, 1.5% to 2%, credit cards, 2.5% to 3%, Amex, 3.5%. ACH, this is called electronic bank transfer. And if you do that, it's a fixed 1%. And so just we give you that information just so that you can give to the best. If you give through the electronic bank transfer by entering your routing number and account number, which is always printed on the bottom of your checks, then we get the most of your giving. But we encourage you to give whichever way is easiest for you. You can also do recurring giving through the app. Just click the repeat this gift button and you can give on a monthly, weekly, quarterly, however, whatever basis you want. And the power of recurring giving is huge so that we don't forget. We have approximately 400 giving units here in the church. Now, a giving unit is a household, so it's either an individual or a couple or multiple people within the same house who give at least $1 to the church in a year. So if you've given $1 to the church, then you are a giving unit. We have approximately 400 of those. Now, if each of those giving units were to increase their giving just by $1 a day, so no matter what you give now, if you were to increase that by $1 a day, our annual giving in the church would go up by $150,000. That's the power of recurring giving. Now, this doesn't include people who don't give anything at all to the church. That's just the people who currently do give. If we increased it by $1 a day, we'd have $150,000 more to bless people in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, if all those 400 people gave just $10 a day, not increased your giving by $10 a day, but if everyone gave the same total of $10 a day, then our annual budget would be $1.5 million. That is a huge amount of money we can do so much for God's kingdom with. And you might think $10 a day is quite a lot of money, and it is. But that represents a 10% annual giving off an income of $36,500. So if you earn, as a household, $36,500, and you gave 10% of that income to the church, you'd be giving $10 a day. But the average income in Clovis is over $85,000. So imagine what we could do in God's name with those things. There's so much giving potential in this church. So much. Which is why we've created this different way of giving. So you don't have to remember cash checks. You can be sat in your bathtub, playing on your phone, and think, I need to give to church. And it takes you less than 10 seconds. It is amazingly quick at how good this is. And we hope and pray that this is going to encourage us to be more generous and more frequent in our giving. And I remember a challenging question that Ken asked several months ago when he was talking about giving. He asked, and it stuck with me in my mind, he said, if everyone in the church gave like you, how many people would be able to reach for Jesus Christ? And for some of you, like, well, we could reach a lot because there are many people in this church who are hugely generous. For others, we won't be able to even keep the lights on. Now, you'll still be able to give via our website. If you go to the website, click on the Give button. You'll be able to give through there using PushPay again, using the Push website. We obviously will also keep accepting your cash and checks. So please keep bringing them if that's easier for you. And the last thing I want to share is that many people have giving stories. That's the moment or the set of moments in their life that encourage them to give regularly and challenge them to be financially committed, a financially committed partner in God's mission. And I remember my moment vividly. I was 19 years old, sat at my church in England, and Steve, our pastor, was preaching about giving. And he said, for every 10 people who give a 10% tithe, a tithe is just what we call giving 10%, for every 10 people who give a 10% tithe, we could release one new person into full-time Christian ministry. And I had to sit and think about it for a moment, because I was like, hold on, how does that work? So if we had 10 families with $50,000 incomes and they all gave 10%, then we'd have 10 lots of $5,000, which is another $50,000 income. And I was going to say flabbergasted, but that's probably not a word here. I was amazed and shocked at that just amazing math. And I was sitting around it's a relatively small church, there's about 120 people there. We have one service, and I was looking around thinking, we've probably got about 60 or 70 households in this church. And so if everyone was giving 10%, we could have 6 or 7 people in full-time ministry, reaching people for Jesus full-time. And that was great. And so from that point on, I decided to be a financially committed partner in God's mission. Now, obviously, not all the money we give goes towards getting people into ministry because we have to keep the lights on. Here, we have to keep the AC on. In England, we want to keep the heating on because it gets a little chilly. But so much money could be done, so much can be done with people giving their money, and it's huge. We want to be a generous church. We're going to be talking more about money in the coming weeks and months, and we're not looking only to be generous with our money. We want to be generous with our time as well and our talents, because God has been so generous to us. He's given us life and food and breath and friendships and families, and he gave us his son to give us eternal life. We want that generosity of God to overflow into our hearts, into every area of our lives. But I'm not preaching today, believe it or not. So I'm going to hand over to Ken. And remember that we have the new website, the new app, and mobile giving. If you have any questions, I'll be at the Connection Center at the back afterwards, so come chat to me there.
Okay. Thanks, Andy. Andy's been working feverishly to get that website up and running, and I'm excited about that. What I was really excited about was last night. I tested it out. I was up late working, and I knew it was looking for something, and thought, well, maybe it's on the website. And when I opened it up, I got the new one. I was so excited, and that was great to see it. And just a few minutes ago, well, in the earlier first service this morning, I opened it up on my iPad while he was chatting about it, and it works on my iPad too. I haven't had a chance. My phone's back there somewhere, so probably one of those guys back there is playing with my phone. Anyway. Well, I'm Pastor Ken. I'm the lead pastor here, and I'm so excited about this series. This next 3 weeks, we're going to be looking at several things, but primarily, we're going to be looking at what it means to be the church. And then we're going to look at study from Scripture, what it means. Later today, during Membership 101, we have Membership 101 after our baptisms. And if you haven't been to one of those and you want to show up today and you haven't told us, I'll just won't eat, okay? And you have lunch today with us and learn about what it means to be a member here at First Baptist Church of Clovis. And there, we're going to discuss, and later in our series, we'll talk with greater clarity what it means to be a member of the body of Christ. But during these 3 weeks, we're going to focus on why these three things. We're going to talk about why we exist and how God has uniquely shaped us to accomplish His mission and what it means to be the body of Christ. And so we don't want you to miss the next three Sundays. I mean, I want you to make this a priority. I say, but we got the app. I can just listen to it. I can do the whole podcast. No. We need you to be here. I want you to show up, be here and part of it. Make it a priority the next 3 weeks. Show up. Don't miss the next three Sundays. Now, if you're new here and you're still checking things out, kind of figure stuff out, you know, this is a way that we're kind of pulling back the curtains and showing you this is who we are so that you'll have better clarity about who we are and what our values are. In many ways, this series focuses primarily on those who already consider themselves to be part of this body, people who say, this is my church. But we believe that God is calling us to something more, that God is asking us to invite and inviting us to make a stronger commitment, to step up in faith and serve the body in a greater way. So the next 3 weeks matter deeply, and I really am excited about it. I want you to make it a priority, okay? A resource that we recommend for this series is, where is it? Here it is. A resource that we recommend for this series, and we're not teaching out of this book, but it's a great resource. It's a book called I Am a Church Member by Tom Rainer. We have those back at the Connection Center. We bought a supply of those, and they're $5 each, okay? We paid the tax. That's how much they cost us. We're just basically recovering our costs. They're back at the Connection Center. It's a quick read, but it also has a lot of good study information in there, and it invites you to just consider, what does it mean, really, to be a church member? Great book by Tom Rainer. Would encourage you to grab that as you're heading out this morning. Go by the Connection Center. The backdrop reminds you. Remember this backdrop? That some of you seen? Have you ever seen it? Have some of you never seen it before? It's the first time. Okay, good. Yeah. Brand new. Okay, you say, wow, where did that come from? Well, a couple of years ago, we realized that one of the things we were doing well was international and national ministries. We were connecting with churches across the United States. We were working with pastors, encouraging them. We're doing Mexico, Congo, Haiti, Congo, Jamaica. I said Congo already. I said it twice. and other places. We were doing a good job outside our city, but God has placed us here in Clovis, California, and we love Clovis. The backdrop reminds us that God has put us here in this Central Valley, where the land of heat in the summer and hopefully lots of fog this winter, mountains and the rodeo. I mean, God placed us here on purpose. Now, Kelly and I are transplants. I didn't grow up here, but I was born to live in Clovis, California. We discovered that in 2001 when we got here. We realized this is home. This is going to be home. And this is my family right here. This is it, right? This church is my family. I don't have a resume tucked away on my computer somewhere. God has given me this assignment, and I'm here. I'm You're stuck with me, okay? You're stuck with me. And about 2 years ago, we recognized this and we said, we want people to understand that we love Clovis. We live in Clovis. We love Clovis. We love this area. So we began to get involved in mission projects and support in the community around us. So places like the Pregnancy Care Center, Evangel Home, ESA Love in the Name of Christ, Fresno Rescue Mission, Sugar Pine Christian Camp, which, by the way, how many women do we have up there this weekend? About 40, huh? 42, there you go. Thank you, Jack. Yeah, a couple of our bachelor men that they've got their women up at Sugar Pine Christian Camp. By the way, they're coming back down, many of them are coming back down the mountain at noon because they want to be here for the baptism because a couple of the women that are in their small groups are being baptized today. So, I mean, so don't be on 41 today. Anyway, but see, we're also continuing, we're also doing work with West Fresno School of Mission, working in West Fresno, encouraging that. We made another commitment to a young lady in our church who's also involved in ministry in West Fresno. We're excited about that. I'll give you more information about that later. But we continue our efforts also to connect with and encourage the local school system working in Clovis United Schools. God has placed us here and given us a mission to reach our community. Because God loves Clovis, Fresno, Sanger, Madera. God loves people, and so do we. In fact, our church values three things. Why only three things? Because if you value everything, you value nothing. And so we said, these are the three things that we're going to value. Number one is this. We're going to value God's word. We teach it, we preach from it, we encourage you to get into it. We're going to value obedience, doing the right thing according to God's word. We read God's word and say, this is what God expects of me, and that's what I'm going to do. That's obedience. We value God's word, obedience to God's word, and we value people, the object of God's affection. For God so loved the world that he sent his son, not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved, might be redeemed. God loves the people in this planet, the people that live here in Clovis and in this community. Those values drive our actions. Bottom line, we exist to make disciples. And Jesus said this to his disciples in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Now, Jesus begins when he's talking with his disciples. This is that he's died on the cross. The resurrection has come. He's appeared to his disciples. He's standing before them. He's getting ready to ascend to his throne back to the Father in heaven. And he's getting ready to send the Holy Spirit to the church. And he says to his disciples, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Everything. So all authority exists in Jesus Christ. He has every authority. Now, why is that so important? Because we do not exist for our own purposes or our own agenda. All the world exists for God's purposes. And now, what this also means is this, is when we send an ambassador from the United States to another country, they go with the authority of the United States of America. They don't represent themselves. They represent our nation. And you and I are ambassadors of Jesus Christ. And so when we go, because that's the next word he's going to say, when we are going not in our own strength and not in our own authority. We are going in the authority of Jesus Christ. God has called us to go. That's the first word he says. Go implies movement. Here's the problem with any kind of movement. You name it, a movement gets stuck in institutionalism. That's what happened. That's what happens to the church. The church becomes institution, and all of a sudden we become concerned about all the smudges on the doors and the windows because we've got kids running in and out. We begin to get concerned about, hey, stuff's getting wearing out, man. You guys are overusing the facility, you know, and why are people reusing this part of, you know, and people get concerned about the building, or they get concerned about particular programs that are going on, or they want this to happen or that to happen. Go implies movement, and movement can't become an institution. Now, we do have to have order. I get that. There needs to be process. I get that too. But we should never allow process and order to keep us from moving and advancing the kingdom of God. We take the offensive. Jesus told his disciples this, that the gates of hell would not prevail against the church. Now, when you're setting up gates, what does that mean? That means you are in the defensive position, not the offensive position. We were never meant to hunker down, dig a hole, and hang out and wait until Jesus comes back. You know, staying alive, staying alive. No, we're not meant to do that. Okay, we are meant to thrive. We're meant to go. We're meant to move because we're going with the authority of and in the power of Jesus Christ. We are called to press the battle. I love to read Civil War. I read a lot of history. I love to read about the Civil War, and I've read a lot. And one of the things that, this is what happened. Battle of Gettysburg. General Lee's Army of Northern Virginia was pressing deep into Union territory, all the way into Pennsylvania, and they arrived, and a great battle at Gettysburg occurred. That's a very famous battle. They threatened with their audacity and courage to bring an early conclusion to the Civil War. What they were basically trying to say is they wanted the Union to stop fighting, just stop fighting. And so they were making it. They advanced all the way to Gettysburg, and you know about the battle. And they lost the battle. They're in Pennsylvania. They don't have a truck or a Humvee. They have people walking, and they have to get home as quickly as they can. And there's a hasty retreat. General Meade, you know what he did? He's the general for the Union armies. Do you know what he did? Nothing. He let him go. Abraham Lincoln was so upset with General Lee because he said, you should have pursued him. But General Meade said, I needed to, you know, I got to take inventory, make sure everybody's okay. And says, no, advance the battle. Pursue. Jesus cast all this in battle terms when he said, The gates of hell will not prevail. All authority and all power resides in Jesus Christ, our captain and commander, and he sends us. But our battle is not with flesh and blood. Our battle is against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Yesterday, I received an invitation to join others who are praying to end abortion. They're not leading a march. They're not picketing abortion clinics or stalking abortionists. They plan to meet Sunday night, September the 27th at 7 p.m. at Free Grace Church. 7 p.m., September 27th, Free Grace Church. And here's what they're going to do. They're going to pray. Here's our problem, I think, with one of the problems we have as a church, is we pick up the weapons of our adversary and we fight with them. One of the things that shames me most as a citizen of the United States of America is that Guantanamo Bay exists and those prisons are there. Why? Because we took up the weapons of our adversary and we became them. We're better than that. And the church is better than that. We have allowed prayer to become defined as very passive. Something we do when all our other efforts have failed. Prayer has become our last-ditch effort. Well, I guess we tried everything else. Why don't we just pray? All we have left to do is pray. Prayer moves people. Prayer moves God. Prayer proclaims our trust in God and our faith that God will answer. When the early church was threatened, they prayed. This is what they prayed. Is our church being threatened? Is the church in the United States being threatened? Amen. What do we want to do? We want to pick up the weapons of the adversary. Let's go get the right people elected. Let's go get laws passed. Let's legislate everything we want, and let's fix this problem. Really? That's been tried, wasn't it? In my lifetime, we had the moral majority. I'm not slamming anybody here. All I'm trying to say is you don't legislate Christianity. You change people by changing their hearts, and you get at their heart. Listen to what happened when the church was threatened in Acts chapter 4, verse 29 and 30. They prayed. This is what they prayed. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. And those prayers move heaven and earth, and the place where they were meeting was shook, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they were able to speak the word of God boldly. Men, I'm inviting you to join me. On Wednesday mornings at 6 a.m., there's a room right behind this area back here. It's called the Green Room. I don't know why it's called the Green Room for a purpose. It's not green, by the way, okay? But we're going to meet at 6 a.m. on Wednesday morning, and I'm inviting you to come and to pray with me. Here's what we're going to do. We're just going to meet, and we're going to pray for this church, and we're going to pray for its impact in this community, and we're going to ask God, God, what do you want us to do? And that's all we're going to do. We're not going to chit-chat, we're not going to visit, we're not going to make coffee and donuts and all that stuff. We're just going to pray. So if you're coming for donuts, stay home. We're coming to pray together. So I invite you to be a part of that. Why would I say that? Because we need to pray. This is the greatest weapon that we have. It's the most powerful weapon, and it changes us, and it changes our community, and it opens doors, and it tears down walls, and it defeats Satan. Satan is scared to death when we pray. He cowers in fear when you and I pray because we're saying to God, God, we need to cash in. I love that. That we need to cash in every promise that God has made in His Word and lay it before God and say, God, we need your help. But here's our problem. We're too independent. We can do it ourselves. We're so clever. We're so good at stuff. We're so resourceful. We don't need God. I got this, God. Don't worry, you know. Every time I say that to God, things go bad. God, I need you. Go make disciples. Someone who says, you cannot give what you yourself do not possess. Disciples make disciples. We are to disciple and make disciples. You must be a disciple to make a disciple. I've got no time left, and I've got way too much information here. So if you want the whole thing, email me. I'll give you the whole text, okay? But none of the disciples that we read about in the book of Acts, have you read the book of Acts? In the book of Acts, if you read the book of Acts, none of those disciples went to seminary. None of them went to Evangelism Explosion. None of them went to the Billy Graham School of Evangelism. They didn't have any kind of tools. They didn't have any tracks. They had nothing. They had absolutely nothing. But you know what the one thing they did have? They'd been with Jesus. They'd been with Jesus. You and I need to be with Jesus. How do you? Oh, wait, Ken, he's in heaven. I'm down here. You get into the Word of God and you spend time with Jesus. You read the Gospels and you read what Jesus said and you spend time with Jesus and you discover, God, this is what you want for me to do and I'm going to be obedient. Have you been with Jesus? Then you are called to be a disciple. And you are called to make disciples. We exist to go making disciples and baptizing them. Today, we're celebrating baptism. I can't wait until we jump into that baptismal pool and we celebrate with those. Because there are people who are going to follow the example of Christ while we are following the command of Christ. In baptism, we see them die with Christ and raised to new life in Jesus Christ. Baptism also demonstrates the depth of God's grace and what Christ did to tear down every single barrier because there is nothing. We are all sinners saved by grace. Baptism also demonstrates that we're being baptized into a family. When you became a Christian, let me do it this way. When you were born, you were born into the family. You were born into the world, okay? But you were born into a family. You needed a family to nurture you and grow you up. Many people will say their objection to church membership is, well, I'm part of the universal church. You know, the Big C church. This is the local body. I'm part of the universal church. Well, that's great. Where do you attend this universal church? Where is it you go? Who's the pastor that's going to bury you from this universal church? Or who are the people that you celebrate with? When you and I are baptized, it's a baptism into the community of faith. It's a baptism into a family. It's a reminder that we exist in the midst of the community and we are part of that community. We're part of the family of God. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. What has God taught you? Here again, it goes to experience. You say, I'm not a teacher. I can't do this. I remember when my oldest son was 5 years old and they were looking for a soccer coach. I knew nothing about soccer. You know what the YMCA guy told me? Oh, you can do this. Not a problem. He says, I don't know anything about soccer. He says, you know more than they do. Hey, and you know what? He was right. They're five-year-olds. You know, I have a degree. Not in soccer, but, you know, but I could figure this out. And so that's what you do. You learn and you teach what you learn. And when you teach what you learn more. Teachers always learn more than their students. How do you do this? How can we obey God's command unless we know them? That's why we say reading God's word is so important. That's why we value God's word. And when you read God's word, ask three questions. Here they are. You ready? You ask what, so what, now what? What did I just read? What does it say there? Okay, what difference does it make? So what? And then now what? What am I going to do differently? Because if you don't do the now what, you basically just got a bunch of information. And information without transformation is worthless. But information with transformation creates miracles. Information with transformation creates miracles. When you and I obey Christ, watch out. Watch and see what God will do through you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Everything that we're talking about, we don't do apart on ourselves. We don't do it in our own strength. It's not in our own strength. That's the amazing thing about it. God comes to us and says, listen, I'm going to give you all of me. And if you'll invest your life with my kingdom, I'm going to give you everything you need. I'm going to give you the strength you need. All you need to do is be obedient, and I will help you accomplish incredible things. That's amazing that Jesus said this, you can do nothing apart from me. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But Jesus said, you can do nothing apart from me. We need Jesus, and Jesus promised his presence he will be with us forever. We exist to make disciples. In our words, we say it this way. We exist to lead an ever-increasing number of people into a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. We exist, here it is, you ready? We exist to change the world. Are you kidding? No, I'm not. We believe God's word. And we intend to cash in every promise that God has made. Have you read the book of Acts? 120 disciples are in this room and they're praying. And all of a sudden, these 120 disciples, they turned the world upside down. They had nothing. The only thing they had was the message of Jesus Christ and his resurrection and the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's all we need. We exist to change the world. But it begins here. Last Friday, my day off, and I was running some errands and stuff, and I went outside. I hadn't been outside most of the morning, and went outside. And I thought, wow, that smoke, that smells like it's close, like my neighbor's house is on fire. And then I noticed when I got in the car that as I started up and started to back out in my old truck, there was ash flying off things. I'm like, oh my goodness, How close are those fires? We need to be doing something. You know, I'm thinking, I'm getting ready, I'm pulling out on a shawl thinking, you know, the whole world has got to be seeing what I'm seeing. The whole world has got to be realizing we need to be going somewhere with our shovels and our gloves and putting out this fire. But when I pulled out onto Shaw and got to the four-way, you know, the light there at Armstrong and Shaw, it's like everybody's just going on about their business. You know, I went into the first place I had to stop, my errands. Nobody seemed to even notice that the smoke and the ash are everywhere. Everybody just kind of, oh, well, you know, just going on with life as usual. And I'm thinking, doesn't anybody see this? Don't you smell this smoke? Well, watching their complacency, pretty soon my lack of urgency kind of dismissed. Oh, I guess somebody's got these. Maybe I'm making a big deal about nothing, you know. It's just, you know, just a fire. And I'm sure there's trained professionals, and they know what they're doing, and I'm sure they're taking care of it, and everything will be all right. There's an old song that goes this. This is my father's world. But you know what? Satan has set up his shop, and he intends to steal, kill, and destroy. He has taken up defensive positions here in Clovis and in Fresno. My friend who does ministry in West Fresno told me this week when Andy and I had lunch with him that in the first 6 months of this year in Fresno, 21 children have been killed. You don't think Satan hasn't set up shop in this neighborhood, in this community, and he wants to distill, kill, and destroy everything of value to the kingdom of God, and God loves people, and he wants to destroy everything. He is attacking churches, he's attacking pastors, he's tearing down marriages, and anything that's precious to God. He is attacking it, and we are just rearranging chairs sometimes on the Titanic. What's wrong with us? Don't we smell the fire burning? Don't we feel the heat of hell? Listen, this church, there's an old song, goes like this. Rise up, O church of God, be done with lesser things. Give heart and soul and mind and strength to Christ, the King of Kings. You and I exist to advance the kingdom of God and force Satan back into hell. That's why we exist. We exist to accomplish that. The church is going to endure, and it will outlast every nation. Think about it. It's not going to stop. Why? Because it has the Holy Spirit residing and driving it and force and pushing it. We have this thing called the Holy Spirit, and God is calling us, and he's inviting us. We have the greatest message that Jesus Christ came to give us life, not to condemn us, but that we might have greater life. We have the greatest power on the planet, the Holy Spirit, and here's the wonder. God wants us. He wants to use us. I mean, look at me. He wants to use me. He wants to use us. This ragtag, you know your story, right? But God wants to dwell in you and accomplish this through this body of believers. That's what he wants. We exist to change the world. And that's what we're going to do because of the power of Jesus Christ and what Jesus wants to do in us and through us. Can you think of anything more significant to do with your life? I know you got to work. I get that. You got to make a living. You got to pay the bills. I understand that. I'm not talking about that. That becomes a source of income for you so that you can do the real work, and that's this. Let's make disciples. Let's go. Let's be a part of the movement of Jesus Christ. Let's tear down some gates of hell, and let's push back Satan's. He's taken property that he doesn't own. Let's take it back. God, we want to be a part of that. We want to be a part of your kingdom, the advancement of your kingdom. Show us how. Give us tools to do it. Over the next few weeks, challenge us to just show up, to be here and available to you, to listen and to apply what we're learning and to get engaged with the battle, to recognize that what we've been doing isn't enough. The reality is we need to step up our game. We need to change our own lives, our own lives. We've surrendered so much ground to Satan. Remind us not to pick up the weapons of the adversary. Remind us to use you, to come to you, to pray to you, to plead with you, and then be obedient to whatever you're calling us to be. God, We want to be your people in this place, and we want to change Clovis and its community. In Christ's name we pray.